I am delighted to welcome Norman Finkelstein back to the studio tonight. He is certainly one of Cincinnati's well-known poets, who has also written extensively about modern American poetry and Jewish literature, and is, as well, a professor of English at Xavier University. In addition to 9 previous volumes of poetry, he's the author of 5 books of literary criticism, the most recent being On Mount Vision, Forms of the Sacred in Contemporary American Poetry. Tonight we're going to talk about his latest book of new and selected poems, which is titled The Ratio of Reason to Magic. It is published by Loveland's very own Robert Murphy at Dos Madres Press. Norman, welcome back to Around Cincinnati.
It's a pleasure to be here.
Good to see you. This is an impressive collection, and I'm so intrigued about this thought-provoking title. So let's start off with a poem that references it, and it's titled Ratio.
Yes, this is Ratio, and it originally appeared in the volume Inside the Ghost Factory, which came out in 2010. When he came out of the mirror, a wind from elsewhere was blowing his hair. I can't read those books anymore. The past was never like that. But then again, neither was the future. I can't read those books because of the roads, because of the rooks, because of the way the car stalls, night falls. This rhyme measures the ratio of reason to magic. Every break indicates that something has slipped through. Eventually, they all sound alike, the ones who escape and the ones who dazzle the audience because they have come back from the dead. One made a deal with the inventor. One made a deal with the lord of that music, thin and sad and far away. In the book, he spoke Latin. In the movie, there were many hats.
Well, I want to pick up on that many hats idea because, as it happens, you wear many hats. So one of the ways I perhaps simplistically thought about from reason to magic is that left brain, right brain kind of thing. And you're a poet, but you also write criticism.
True.
So take us inside your mind, if you would, and tell us, how do these live together? I'm thinking about William Stafford being interviewed and asked, what if the poem you write today isn't as good as the one you wrote yesterday? And he said, well, then I just lower my standards. So how does criticism and poetry work in Norman's mind?
It's a complicated question, and over the years there have been books of criticism that I've written in conjunction with books of poetry, which is to say that I was sort of mining the same ore, as it were. But on the other hand, I like to think that if I'm being too much of the critic in my poems, we've got a problem. And therefore, I like to keep the critical apparatus at a distance when I'm writing poetry, obviously, because the spontaneity and the imagination is of a different sort. But again, writing poetry is, well, okay, while Stevens says that poetry is a scholar's art, and there is a good deal of commentary and allusion in my poems. Sometimes I show my cards, sometimes I don't. And in some respects, it's a scholarly kind of poetry, or at least a highly elusive kind of poetry, that often is challenging for readers, but some readers actually find that enjoyable and even fun.
Yes, yeah, expansive, certainly.
Mm-hmm, I hope so.
Yes, sends us to the research material sometimes. Well, let's go to another poem, which also, for me, alludes to a magic place, and it's titled Sleeping to the East.
I'll read this, and then I'll talk a little bit about it.
Yes.
Okay. Sleeping to the East. So that the sun warms you, increases the light, gently nudges you to wake up. So that you can speak to the sun, speak of the day with someone beside you. The poem, like a room providing morning light, like a window through which falls light from the east, upon a bed that provides a view of the light, fruit trees, gardens, and the lawn beyond, or courtyard, terrace, somewhere to walk. the poem, like the day beginning at the moment which serves you best, that is, just after a dream.
So you tell us what you want to tell us about this, but I'm also wondering if that time between sleeping and waking is a particularly creative time in your life.
Probably between being awake and sleeping. I've written a lot of poetry over the years when I'm half asleep. really, because there again, the critical faculty, the overly critical faculty, is somewhat dormant, and the imagination can play, and dream associations can begin to kick in. And therefore, I like writing at night, but I've also written a lot first thing in the morning, too. But this poem is the beginning of a long series of poems. The whole of it was published in another Dos Madres book, Scribe, back a few years. The series is called An Assembly, and it was based on the architect Christopher Alexander's book, A Pattern Language, so that each poem in the sequence took on one or more of Alexander's so-called patterns, which he uses to construct everything from a room to a city. So it sort of creates a kind of utopian space for me, and it literally is assembled, and many of the words of these poems are taken from Christopher Alexander. Mm.
It's so interesting to hear where inspiration, if you will, comes from in a poet's life. We have time for one more poem, and this one is titled Lamp.
Lamp. Light, love, falls upward, falls over us as we lie together. Love's sight rises downward, each particle kisses utter, each syllable. Sight's shade dims toward reaching above, hands darkness speaking love.
Thank you for speaking love with us tonight. Always the language of poetry, certainly. And again, for this really impressive collection and representation of your work. We're glad to share at least a little taste of it with listeners tonight. Thanks for being here, Norman.
My pleasure again. Thank you.
I've been talking with Norman Finkelstein about his book, The Ratio of Reason to Magic, New and Selected Poems. You'll find more information about it at wvxu.org/AroundCincinnati. I'm Barbara Gray.